Hello and welcome to Next 2.0. I am your host, Marcus Atkinson. Next is produced by WQLN, PBS, NPR, and the Public Voice Media. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can find us at Next 2.0. If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Next 2.0 Erie. And there you can keep up with all the upcoming show promos, events, and see clips about what's next for our communities and our democracy. Thank you so much for tuning in. The subpar yet very clever rapper T-Pain had a song out called Buy You a Drink. Very popular song. And more than likely, if you go to a bar nowadays and you buy somebody a drink, or if they buy you a drink, there is a strong chance that that liquor in that drink will have a black owner. Because you see, the new pattern is that blacks are infiltrating the wine and spirits industry unlike ever before. And this is a good thing. You've heard of some of the key players in this game right now, I'm sure. First, there was Sean Diddy, formerly known as P. Diddy Combs, if you missed the announcement. And he's known for his ownership stake in Ciroc Vodka. And Ciroc gets the blue ribbon for having the slickest names in the liquor game. You've got the Ciroc-a-tini. You've got the Ciroc Obama. And the list goes on. You've got Jay-Z, who acquired the luxury champagne brand, often referred to as Ace of Spades. You probably know it from its ornate silver and sometimes gold bottle. Very classy and very pricey. And then there's Ludacris, you know, as a rapper and an actor. He's involved with Conjure Cognac. The rapper Drake has a stake in Virginia Black Whiskey and played a significant role in its marketing. Pharrell Williams has been involved with a cream liquor brand entitled Cream, and it's spelled with a Q. And then there's the dishonorable mention that we'll give to rapper E-40 for having his own line of malt liquor called E-40 beer. E-40, if you're listening, and we know you aren't, brother, malt liquor, really? In any event, this is a space that is occupied routinely more and more by blacks. And it's not just the music industry. You can look at Michael Jordan, who is part owner of a tequila company. You can look at LeBron James, who also has an ownership stake in his own wine and spirits company. But the name that I want to focus on today is Russell Fletcher. I can see you scratching your heads. This is a name that you don't recognize, for now anyways. Russell Fletcher has a very smooth vodka, and it's called Mishka Vodka. There's a silver, there's a honey, and there's a cranberry. And I got to tell you, it is good. Now, Mishka Vodka has a Pennsylvania tie-in. It even has an Erie tie-in, the home of Next 2.0, but we'll get to that. I was on the website for the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development not too long ago, better known as DCED. And this was an August 28th article. And it talked about the Economic Development Secretary's Rick Seiger announcing the approval of a $175,000 loan to help This Life Forever Incorporated expand its Lehigh County distillery. The funds were approved through the Pennsylvania Minority Business Development Authority. And so you may ask, well, who is This Life Forever Incorporated? It is owned by Russell Fletcher. Russell Fletcher has a very fascinating story, and he himself has strong ties to the music industry, and we'll let you break that down. We'll let him, I should say, break that down to you in just a few seconds here. The loan will help This Life Forever purchase machinery and equipment for the distillery and finance the working capital required to support the expansion of its business operations and its increase of their workforce. This vodka is on the rise. This company is on the rise. But now listen to an interview with Russell on Hot 97. I want to give you a clip of that because I can't do his ties to the music industry justice. So I want him to tell you in his own words. Russell Fletcher.
Yeah, just from being hanging posters in the streets, touring with Wu-Tang and then doing a bunch of stops as far as with the Hard Knock Life tour with Jay-Z, Method Man, Redman, DMX, the Full Locks, Rough Riders. it gave me a different side of the business. And one thing that always connected was always the way alcohol was always involved when it came down to the party scene, music, just the culture within itself. So it was just, for me, just keeping great connections and great friendships and good business relationships. I started to learn the business from a different side. And then that got me into winemaking just as an amateur in 2008, 2009. From there, I fell in love with the business side of it. And then roughly about 2009, formulated an award-winning wine, sparkling wine. And then from the sparkling wine side, we translated that into actually owning a winery in 2011. And then from there, I started just kind of just doing the R&D when it came down to spirits within itself.
Wow, that's what's up. Talk about being acutely aware of your surroundings. This man took the culture around him. He paid attention to the components that made up that culture, extracted one of those components for himself, and said, I think I can make something work with this. That sounds like another Russell that's a personal hero of mine, Russell Simmons. And many people are under the impression that he was the founder of Def Jam. Nothing could be further from the truth. Rick Rubin founded Def Jam, but Russell Simmons came along, was able to look at the culture at that time and infuse the culture around him into the brand that we now know as Def Jam, and the rest, as they say, is history. This Russell, that being Fletcher, has done something very similar with his Mishka Vodka, and now with his company, This Life Forever. His company was founded in 2008, was incorporated in 2012, and he himself, Russell Fletcher, serves as the CEO and master distiller. And let me also add this. This company is the first minority-owned distillery in the state of Pennsylvania. That's pretty impressive. Early on, I mentioned that there were three employees for This Life Forever, one of which is Jason Easter, who lives right here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And so we want to give you this journey from Jason's perspective, from an Erie perspective, and talk about how Erie plays into the future plans of Mishka Vodka and This Life Forever. And so I met up with Jason at a local pub and a local distillery, they themselves. I was joined by co-host Mark Blunt, and Jason unpacked the whole thing for us, and it was a fascinating interview. And in the process, some of the vodka brands that I mentioned earlier, he brought all of those bottles with him, hooked up with the server, and they made up some of their best combinations that people could sample while we enjoyed this discussion. I'm sure you'll enjoy it just as much as we did. Jason Easter. And so we're here with Jason Easter at the Tap House in Erie, Pennsylvania. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I tell you what, we've been talking about stats in the first part of the show about just the expansion of black-owned brands. And one of the sites that I've been looking at a lot lately has been drizzly.com. I want to read this quote from Drizzly just to kind of get your reaction before we go into your story, because I thought this was wildly fascinating and it was at the heart of what we're talking about today. It says, clearly consumers have been feeling the pull towards black and minority-owned brands for the past few years. According to the data from across the Drizzly universe, following the launch of the black-owned tag on Drizzly in June 2020, share sales for Drizzly's top-selling black-owned brands were up anywhere from 40 to 585% over May 2020 share of sales. As of 2021, over 65% of Drizzly retailers carry products from black-owned brands. And so I read that to say the strength of black-owned brands is on full display right now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point right now, when you say those numbers, obviously the marketing is a key aspect of that. So when 2020 hit and the world kind of shut down, especially when it comes to wine and spirits, people are like, hold on, I don't have my surplus of whatever I want at that time. That's kind of with everything else during the 2020 pandemic. So then you move forward to 2021, and then you get more marketing with our black-owned spirits. Hopefully it just the sky's the limit, it keeps going up. But yeah, that is something that just definitely rose up for all of us.
Mark, we've been researching this category for a while. As you're researching just the rise of these black-owned brands and the financial and economic strength of it, what are some of the things that jumped out at you, man? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is, finally, someone can relate to my palate. And I think the flavored market, our palate is my sweeter. I look at Modelo beers, is now the number one selling beer in the country, a Mexican beer. I look at how, I guess, Sean Puffy Combs has changed the game with vodka, with his flavor. and it had an impact on other brands such as Crown with Peach or whatever. So finally someone is addressing our palates and we've broken through a ceiling. So that's how I see it.
So let's dive right into this, man. So we've got Russell Fletcher. We talked a little bit about his story at the outset of the show. And so Russell is a former winemaker, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And so when Mark talks about our palate, one of the reasons that I believe Mishka is so smooth is because this is the world he came from. His story is fascinating. Tell us, how do those two worlds collide? So you've got Jason Easter, one of the more sought-after marketing reps in this area. How did you land on Russell's, on his radar, and how did you two come together?
Well, Russell being a Pennsylvania guy living in Allentown, Pennsylvania, me being in Erie, I mean, it's only right that you meet each other in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And that's exactly what happened. Both of us trying to get our business going during our ventures. And literally, it was just feeling each other out. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and they want to help you grow as a person. And that was the authenticity of the relationship. Russell's like, hey, let me learn a bit more about you. All right, Russell, let me learn a little bit more about you. And then both just collided together and saying, hey, I think you're going to be an asset for me. And I think I'm going to be an asset for you. So just piggybacking off that energy. And Russell, I mean, if you taste Mishka Premium Vodka, cranberry infused, honey infused, the natural premium, gluten-free product, but when those things come together, you can tell that he is a magician when it comes to making a premium product, and he just did that. So.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it next.
Man, I testify to the honey.
You know I was about to mention that, because the honey is on point. And when, so you got, go ahead.
And when we talk about the honey is 5 times distilled. It's natural honey infused in the distilling process. But with that being said, and Russell always gives me all the numbers. He's a numbers guy. So when we talk about the numbers and we talk about flavors, flavors are only, when I say only, it's about $200 million worth of sales in Pennsylvania. $200 million, that's flavors. But when you turn around and you go to premium spirit with all natural vodka, that's a $300 to $400 million product. Mm. So flavors hasn't even touched the direction that the premium actually is going right now. So combined together, vodka sales in Pennsylvania is $600 million industry right now.
So in the marketing universe, you have your own brand going. So obviously before you said yes to being a representative for Mishka, you want to taste the product,
right,
see how you feel about it. Tell us about that, when it hit your palate. You know, were you taste testing it with family members, and how did you decide whether or not you wanted to jump on board?
Absolutely. So you hear about it, you see it, and honestly, us growing up, I'm gonna say minorities in the black community, vodka isn't our number one choice. So I'm like, okay, let me taste this out. Let me see what's all about. Let me see what the big fuss is that Russell Fletcher is bringing to the table. And as soon as the box arrived to my house, I called some of my closest friends, and Marcus, you actually being one of them, came over to the house, we sat in the garage and gave it a taste, and literally it was a sampling session. Smelled the note, look at the bottles, tasted, let it flush around in your mouth a little bit, and when that honey hit, you knew that honey hit. And the cranberry, if you like natural cranberry, even if you aren't a fan of cranberry, the things that this really, all the notes that it actually brings into the table, being an 80 proof at that, you know it's something special.
Mm-hmm. Mark, you commented on that honey earlier.
I love the honey. I'm a big fan of the honey, and today I honestly tested the premium, and I would say the premium stacks up against anybody's premium. I usually would drink Tito's, but now that I had this, I think it's on par or if not better. Again, the notes, he hit on something. Again, something that is attractive to my palate, and I think it's a good quality product. But the honey, I just got to go. Keep going back to the honey. I ask all of you to give that a try.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing about the honey is, and we talked about him being a winemaker once upon a time for a reason, it is so smooth. My wife, who does not drink liquor, will drink honey on the rocks with no chaser, no mixer. People don't even know that it's vodka. It is that smooth. My guess is you've had a similar reaction, because I mean, just recently I bought a whole case for my mama. She was like, I need a whole case of the honey. And we just delivered it the other day.
And the funny thing about it is, people, when they taste the honey, they think it's going to be a fall or a winter cocktail. That's not the case whatsoever. I'm glad you keep pointing on that, how smooth it is. It goes with anything. Ginger ale, Sprite, whatever you possibly, whatever your pick is to add to it, it goes with it. But again, I'm just like you said, Mark, I like the honey on the rocks. I don't even want to take away from his natural taste, natural spirit. Let's leave it alone and drink it right on the rocks with a nice cigar.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, Mark and I can refer back to the days when, like, hip-hop started segueing into their own when it comes to different product lines and things along the way. We had shoes.
Yes.
Right at the time, we were... Think of all the times that African Americans were rocking Timberlands and Raider hats and Adidas and were not being compensated for it. Yes. And at some point they said, you know what? I'm going to start manufacturing this stuff myself and get in on the proceeds. You remember that, Mark?
Definitely. And also I remember when we used to dream about stuff like, Ace of Spades and products like those. And then now we have African Americans that bought into that. Again, Sean Puffy Combs buys into Ciroc. He markets it. He brings our swag, our flavor, our palate, and sales is booming. But this right here, this honey, I want to keep going back to here. This honey, and see, this type of podcast I like. Way to bring the product. We get to taste it, and we're sipping on it right now. So I can testify that this honey, I ask all of you to taste it.
So people think about liquor sales, and they think about African-American-owned companies. They think about Macro, right? They do think about P. Diddy. They do think about... Jay-Z, and now you got
Michael Jordan with Sincor.
There you go.
Another one I recommend. I mean, like, it's just as smooth as the 1942. Mm-hmm. It goes with the Classe Azul. And again, I think if it happened with our food, it kind of makes sense. If people want our food, if we influence chicken, if we influence macaroni and cheese,
that's
things
right.
like those things, why wouldn't it come down to liquor
that's
or
right.
wines and spirit, as he was called? You could look at Uncle Nearest right now. Uncle Nearest, the one who supposedly taught Jack Daniels mm-hmm. on how to brew his or how to make moonshine or however you want to call it, bourbon. His brand is taking off
mm-hmm.
because they're reflecting our palate, our swag.
And speaking of our swag, Jason, what's up with the names, man? Because you got to think about it. This is what I give P. Diddy. He got some of the flyest names, the Ciroccatini. My favorite is the Ciroc Obama. The Ciroc Obama. What's up with the names, man? Give me some of these mixed drinks, man, that's starting to be birthed from Mishka.
Hey, honestly, the one you talk about, the honey, Russell loves this one called the Bare Necessities. So when you got the honey vodka, you got the Bare Necessities going on right now.
Yeah.
But when it comes to our cranberry vodka, we have the Berry Mule.
Yeah.
So you look at Moscow Mule, is that Berry Mule is hitting pretty hard. I mean, it's endless games that you can play with it right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The Bare Necessities, if you've never seen Mishka, the logo is...
Is a bear.
Is a bear.
And like Russell said, once the company was established and the vodka really started taking off, the name Mishka means little bear. So Russell has his firstborn son, who came arised, and then his wife Tatiana will see my little Mishka, meaning the little bear. So that's where the name's going on. Mm. It's going to keep going on for generations to come.
Okay, mm. So when it comes to this topic, my guess is that the average person looks at the Apex, again, the Ciroc's and all of that, and they're yep. thinking that's what it is.
Yep.
When you look at companies like Mishka, there's a growth trajectory to where you can literally see a pathway to that level of success. Give the listeners an idea of just how this thing has grown within the state, what kind of traction you're getting out of state, and what your projections are for the future, you think, with Mishka.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll speak on Erie, Pennsylvania right now. So Erie, we really touched base down in Erie, I want to say, in 2021 is when we really started hitting hard. We had it in Erie in 2020, moved very slow because of the pandemic, but 2021, it was just hit and misses. Like, people really didn't want to disrupt their current vodkas that they had. So any vodka that they are carrying that's on the shelves for a long time, the ones that are heavy hitters, they didn't want to change those. Everybody thinks, or most people thought, were, I already have a vodka here, my customers like it, I'm not going to change it. But if you notice, about every 5 to 7 years, that top vodka does change. If it's the Kettle One, it's Grey Goose, the Ciroc, whatever it is, that pendulum does swing. Don't say those companies are going away anytime soon,
mm-hmm.
but just literally the top notch, the more marketable ones are around. So then in Erie, in 2022, we really took Erie by storm. In 2023, I think we even tripled what we did in 2022. And that's just in Erie, Pennsylvania, the great city on the lake. So in Allentown, where Russell and our headquarters is located,
mm-hmm.
we've always been aggressive there, obviously being in the backyard. Philadelphia is a heavy market. Now, where we're really trying to gravitate to right now is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, State College area. Western Pennsylvania hasn't been touched yet, but I'm telling you, we're coming really, really hard, especially in the Pittsburgh area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a good product. Also, what I would say is, You did it by word of mouth, and you did it by having a good product versus a big advertising budget. Or you didn't have a celebrity that went this way that's rapping about it. You did it the hard way. You did it by word of mouth, and you produced a great product, the honey, the great product, and the premium. I don't want to belittle the other ones, but I really gravitate towards the honey. And if you do a taste test, which I challenge you all to, it stands up to any of them. In some cases, better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to go out and support our local bars and establishments. The majority of them do have it in the Erie area, but also the wine and spirits. Find wine and good spirits, you can get it there. You can order it online, mishkapremiumvodka.com. But, I mean, the things even more unique about this whole adventure is this wasn't just started by somebody who had millions of dollars and kind of was bored. This wasn't established by somebody who had millions of dollars and who wanted to buy into the program. Mm-hmm. This was started in, think about it, like you talk about old school rap, old school R&B. This was done in a garage. Yeah. Somebody sampling around,
that's
playing around, trying to figure it out, and then figured it out. So this is, when you look at it, this is your neighbor. This is the guy we see getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and going to the distillery. This is the guy you see coming home late at night and having a cold plate. Like, that's what makes this whole cool partnership, this mm-hmm. whole cool store, because he is the everyday guy that you see walking the streets. He's going to be in a grocery store with you. We don't have a private driver or anything like that. It's literally hands-on. That's our whole entire team. Mm-hmm. Everybody's your everyday Joe, your everyday gal, is sitting around and networking and at your local pub, sitting at the bar, and going through the struggles that everybody else through, and we're just hoping that, you know what, mm-hmm. am I that lucky one today?
Yeah.
Is it my turn? So, and out here with the old school backpack, I told Russell when we first met, my goal as a kid was I wanted to do marketing because I wanted to have the record labels and the CDs in my back and going on the streets and doing the hard work. And Russell actually did that. He left college and went on tour with Wu-Tang, and he started doing it that way. And then one thing led to another. So when you think of that hard work every single day and that grind, that's what Mishka Block is.
That's exactly where I was going next, because you watch Shark Tank and people know Dame and John from that. But for us from the hood, we know him from FUBU.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was exactly what you're describing, almost to the T with everything that Russell's doing, when he was living on Farmers Boulevard, right near LL Cool J's home, right? And he was kind of creating that from the ground up. And I want to talk to you more about the grind and the hustle, because when you look at people like Master P and people like Jay-Z, who used to hustle illegal product, when they transcended and went to a legal product, the hustle that they had remained the same. They just redirected it. And so when people listen to somebody like you, they're thinking, get it in the liquor store, and it ends right there. Talk about the real hustle and grind, the ground level stuff that you do to get the name of Mishka out there, that us laymen, we aren't thinking about that. We think about just go to the liquor store.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go to the liquor store. Obviously, it supports our state of Pennsylvania. But, I mean, day in and day out, when you see the tastings at the Fine Wine and Good Spirits in Pennsylvania, go there and sample it and taste it and see if that's something that you actually like. Go to our website, Mishka Premium Vodka, order it online. We do tastings, we do jazz and blues festivals, like literally every baseball sponsorships. We are doing everything in our local communities to help out ourselves, but also help our community as well. So we're involved in everything.
Erie has a minor league baseball team, the Erie Seawolves, and I want to say we are a minor league team for the Detroit Tigers.
Correct.
And you had a Mishka tasting.
Yep.
During a baseball game, and it was real fly. Mishka hosted the fireworks afterwards, and so on the Jumbotron, you had the Mishka logo that was switching up for every song that was played. That's hustling, right? That's how you get to the level that we see with these P. Diddy's and all of that.
Yes.
Like, you're going to see everybody in our partnership team, including Russell himself, that if it's at a music festival, he's going to be behind a table. I'm going to be behind a table. If you're going to have a Mishka Day at a ballpark, we're going to be there. If it's going to be the delivery, you'll see all of us, Russell, myself, Chef Joe, Tatiana, and the list goes on, all the people who are involved in our team, you'll see them delivering cases themselves to those locations. It's not just like, hey, I got so-and-so distribution. Do we have those partnerships? Yes, absolutely. But you'll see everybody who's involved in this process hands-on delivering to a local establishment. If they're mm-hmm. out and they want our product, we're going there at 9 o'clock at night if we have to, with our invoices, and delivering as we should. Like, we're really hands-on.
So obviously the company has a goal. What is your goal for Mishka Vodka? For everything that you have control over, what are you saying to yourself? I want to take it here. When I reach X plateau, I know that I'm on my way to my overall goal. What does that look like for you?
I mean, right now, our goal is, I want to say at 41 years old myself, looking at the whole situation, I want to be like, oh, I want to make sure I'm taken care of, my wife's taken care of. Russell really hit home. Was like, we ain't thinking that level. We thinking our kids, their kids who aren't even born yet are taken care of.
Generational wealth.
Now, once we have that generational wealth and our kids' kids are taken care of, then we'll start looking at different avenues. Then we'll start talking about how we can do X, Y, Z. But until that changes, we are full-fledged on the ground, hitting the ground running, working hard. But I mean, a personal goal for myself, in which Russell is a full support of, being the CEO and founder of Mishka, is I live in Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie, Pennsylvania will have a distillery. We will have a bottling plant here. It's gonna help grow out into the deliveries go out to Ohio, to Western Pennsylvania, to New York. And the reason why that's important to me is because somebody put me on. And it was just a blessing in disguise to be part of this organization. If I can put somebody in our own neighborhood, a friend of mine or my kids' friends or whoever it may be as they're growing throughout these times for an internship, working in a bottling plant, becoming the operations director, whatever it may be, if our town is making more money, they're spending more money, and if I can help, somebody help me. So I want to be a part of that.
Well, Jason, I also think there's the unseen part where people like yourself have inspired or broke down barriers, and now someone can see themselves doing what you do. And so that's a commendable aspect, and I'm proud of you. And I think, again, it's a good product. and that's where it starts. You know, you have a good product, a good plan, which they have. And a lot of times this is not by chance. This is not, he's not necessarily begging for support. What he's doing is he's providing a good product.
Right.
He's telling you to taste it, and it holds out. So when I buy my honey, I'm not buying it just for the support. I'm buying it because it's one of the best ones out there.
Right.
And there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's a difference to that.
And you know what? And again, if people aren't a vodka connoisseur, that's not what they want. There's somebody in your family who likes vodka. If vodka's not your choice, and you know, like, I don't like premium vodka, the honey or cranberry might be up your alley and up your choice. But again, go out and try it. You might have a good recommendation for somebody else on a Thanksgiving table or 4th of July, whatever it may be. Give it a shot. And again, it's something premium where we're not saying, hey, try this. It's going to be one and done. Once you try it, I know you're going to like it and you're going
to
get
more. I'm about to go Martin on that. Damn that. Look, try this honey. Because this honey is good. And even if you're not a vodka, because again, it doesn't taste like vodka. And a lot of times, there's barriers here. Some people say, well, I like this type of gin, or I don't like gin, or whatever. I just ask that you try this product, because when you try this product, I think it breaks barriers. It doesn't taste like what you may think vodka tastes like. Right. You'll find yourself, just be careful with it, because you'll be sipping on it and you won't realize that this will catch up with
it
you.
It will.
It is 80 proof. It is a kosher product. So when you think about the Jewish laws, it is a kosher product, which is, again, something that's unique and something that we want to take in perspective. It is a gluten-free product.
Good to know.
There is no added sugar. There's no added flavoring. And it's 5 times distilled. And then when you take all of that and you take it even further, in the World Spirits, San Francisco World Spirit Awards, we took double gold, which is one of the highest awards you possibly can get in the spirits area. We didn't go out here just asking, like, hey, the local community, just give us your personal opinion. We took it to the experts and see what they thought about it, and we won some awards because of it. So these are top-notch premium products.
And so the Why Not Me spirit in the African-American community has been, you know, slowly bubbling up in all these different categories. Yep. It warmed my heart when I saw that Tyler Perry bought BET back, and it is now black-owned once again. We talk about the different businesses and individuals in the alcohol space, and we're starting to see it in sports, we're starting to see it in movies and things along those lines. To the best of your ability, talk about what it means to your owner, your team, and yourself in terms of this being black owned. How much is that, how big of a value is that for you, and how much does that drive you, Russell, and the team?
I mean, obviously it's black owned, and the fact that it's ours, that just makes you get up out of the bed every day. It's no like, all right, somebody else is doing it, somebody's producing
it, making somebody else money.
What we kill is what we eat, so we gotta get out here and hit the ground every single day. But I mean, it's a family-based product. So when you look at everything being made, how it's being bottled, how it's being distributed out, the conversation that we have late in the mornings and late early in the mornings and late at nights, the dinners that you're going to miss, the sporting events that you're going to miss with your kids, and the vacations that we couldn't take this summer. And I'll point that out to Russell, because there'll be no vacations this summer. We out here grinding. Let's take the vacation for the fourth quarter in late July or late December. Like, let's do it then. Because there's so much opportunity that's available and that's around right now. But when you say black owned, you kind of get kind of boxed in, put in this box that we don't want to be put in. Like, is it an excellent product? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is this the only black owned distillery in Pennsylvania? Yes. Is it the oldest black owned distillery in the United States of America? Yes. Mm. So those are amazing accolades. We're going to take every last piece of them. But then sometimes I think when you're dealing with certain industries like ourselves right now, you can go down south and it's like the wild, wild west. It's not controlled like Pennsylvania as far as the minimums where you can serve, the alcohol has to be at a certain price, only at that price. You go down south and it goes up, it goes down, it's just going up and down like crazy what those prices can be. But I think sometimes people get the tendency to, once it is black owned, you label it that way, that it's not almost, it can't be this premium as the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It clearly is. But I mean, and I say that to the point where there's certain shows that we went to and we said, you know what, put us in every single show in this state. And they turn around and they put us in the only black shows in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So like, wait a minute, we don't want black money. We want all money. Like, the money's green and we want to have as much of it as possible. Mm-hmm. So that was something that was really important to us too. Like, don't box us in as just an everyday product. Pennsylvania just a Pennsylvania product or just mm-hmm. a black-owned product. Mm-hmm. We're a premium product. We feel like we can go against anybody. Just taste it out, try it yourself. And again, I know Mark will say the honey, it's it. The premium is it, and the cranberry is it.
I mean, at the end of the day, if it's black-owned, but at the end of the day, you want to be best in show. If best in show just happens to be owned by black folk,
thank you.
Then there it is. Go ahead, bro.
You bring up an interesting point when you said that, because recently, I believe Sean Puffy Combs and Jay-Z has had to go to court because their product wasn't treated equally, put on the same shelves, or given the same marketing budget that the other products of those lines of their parent companies were out there. Mm-hmm. And so it was found that the Ducés, the Syrah, the I forget what the Diablo, I believe, is the tequila by Puffy. They wasn't given the same opportunity to stand by themselves. So it's good to hear that Jason is going after, give me the opportunity.
Yep.
And if you give me the opportunity, I'll take advantage of it.
Yep.
And that's what I want our youth to hear. Just sometimes you have to create your own opportunity. And
yep.
These gentlemen have done that. You can't wait. You got to go out to execute. If someone won't meet with you, you knock on their doors. That's what they're doing. They're doing the groundwork. If you don't have a budget, you have time to go out there and do some of the things that you can do. And that's mm-hmm. what they've done.
Jason Easter, Mieszka Vodka. Jason, tell us where you at. Tell us what you're thinking about as we close the show. What do you want the listener to think about when they get done listening to this interview?
Honestly, I want you to just give us a shot. Like, go out and be different. Try the honey-infused, natural-infused product. Try our cranberry, natural cranberry infused. It's 5 times distilled. If you don't know what that means, Google it, because it lets you know how premium we are. And then, again, our premium product was one of the most awarded vodkas on the planet. So give it a shot. But also, check out our website, Mieszka Premium Vodka. Learn more about our stories. We have a lot, when I say a lot of amazing things that are coming out at the end of this year. We want and pray that those things go into fruition, but keep an eye out on us. Look it out. I think it's for everybody's best interest, because the future is bright, and we hope everybody's a part of it.
Again, Jason, I'd like to just thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for letting us taste this wonderful product, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. I appreciate
much success.
It.
Good interview, Jason. Listen, we enjoyed that. We're glad that he took time with us. There was a segment there where he mixed up drinks with the servers, and they got a chance to banter back and forth. And you can actually catch footage of that on our Instagram page if you go and check that out. You're probably wondering, was that real vodka being served and consumed during the recording of that show? Email the show host, and he'll give you that breakdown. But listen, I'm Marcus Atkinson. This has been Next 2.0. That's it for our show today. Tune in next week for more discussion and analysis of what's going on locally and nationally with our communities and our democracy. You can listen to this show every month on 91.3 FM.
WQLN, PBS, and NPR, or you can catch it right here and anywhere else where you listen to your local podcast. For Next 2.0, I'm your host, Marcus Atkinson, and we will catch you next time. Peace.